a little belated Happy New Year, 8 days after. But for the Chinese, no, it's not late. Chinese, do you know that the Lunar New Year, we have 15 days. So even within that 15 days, you say Happy New Year is still within that Chinese New Year. So Chinese really knows how to enjoy. Alright, we have 15 days of New Year. And we only, January the 1st, one day, and it's gone. Alright. And greetings from Pastor Yeo and Kamu BP Church. And today we want to talk about how to face the future. I titled the sermon as Soldier On. But how to soldier on? I'm sure that the government has been broadcasting or encouraging us. All right. Yes, 2017 is going to be a challenging year, but we must soldier on. What to soldier on? Based on the slogan or the perception or the concept that Australia is a lucky country. How lucky are we? I don't think so. All right, especially in WA. What's happening to WA? The worst performing economy in Australia. I think we had our mining boom. We were so proud and say that, oh, we actually drive the entire nation. But today, the entire nation drives us. All right, but not so much. And you see everywhere, and you say, oh. Except for the children here, nothing changes. All right, you still go on with your studies, except that, is there any change in school fees? Is there any change in the numbers of teachers? Because they are all cutting down, cutting this, cutting that. And as I was talking to Mrs. Power, realized that David's medication has been reduced, cut, without knowing, until the whole thing happened. Why did they cut it? So the whole health system is now really change as a result of our funding shortage. So what is 2017? With a lot of uncertainties, correct? In what? Less than 2 weeks, the new president, the president-elect Donald Trump is going to take office. And the media here in Australia says that he is the most unpredictable president of all time. And what's going to happen? We don't know. First and foremost, he says that the first thing that I'm going to do is going to tear up the TPP. What is the TPP? What is the TPP? In other words, this global trade is going to be affected and we are not going to have money. And Australia depends a lot on that. And what's going to happen? We don't know. We don't know. And amid all this unknown, and we say that we soldier on, what basis do we have to soldier on? Based on our resources? I think all of us remember that at one point of time, the iron ore was about, what, $150 per ton. Now it's about one-third. So what is there to soldier on our resources? It can go up and down, go up and down. But we thank God, we are not dismayed. As Christians, yes, we are going to encounter challenges. We are going to encounter uncertainty or even hardships. But our God is in control. All right. And it is based on this understanding and based on this confidence that we can say no matter what happened, no matter what kind of turmoil, upheaval there are going to be in the world, by God's grace, we can soldier on. So let's turn to Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. Alright, Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. Alright, a little background of this. If you were to read the verse before, that's Deuteronomy, the last verse of it. Alright? We realize that the Israelites, after Moses passed away, they had mourning of Moses. A grand mourning for Moses. So much so that the Lord had to probe the people. The Lord had to awaken Joshua and the people. So from this, we want to understand what is the principle that God has for us as we face the uncertain future, as we face the unknown. There will definitely be unknown, no doubt about it. We have to bear this in mind. All right, things will never go as it is. Like WA, we were thinking that the iron ore prices will never come down. We are going to enjoy. In fact, it was said then, we're going to enjoy at least 10 years of great growth with just one strike. And it's gone. Alright, so unknown will always be with us. But we have God. So how do we soldier on? How can we soldier on? The ability to soldier on amid uncertainties, unknown, lies in, first and foremost, trusting God continually. Alright, very, very often when times are bad, when we encounter hardship, when one day when we go into the office and suddenly a letter in front of us, sorry, we have to say bye-bye to you. When such things happen, we will be jolted. And our trust of the Lord will what? Will wane. We will waver. So the ability to soldier on depends very much on trusting God continually. How to trust God continually? Why can we trust God continually? The passage will tell us. The second thing is, soldier on does not mean that it is foolhardy. Just charge. Like the story of a French novel, Don Quixote. Just charge. And then in the end, you plunge into the river. Alright? And you get yourself hurt. Soldier on does not mean that we plunge head on or headlong, but we allow God's word to lead us, to guide us. Alright, let's go to the first one. Trusting God continually. Why must we trust God continually? From this passage, God tells us that we can trust Him continually because God is never hamstrung by any circumstances, no matter how adverse it is. God uses human to achieve great things for Him. People like Moses, David, the Apostle Paul, or even our great leaders in history. God uses humans to achieve His work, but not the other way around. Alright? Not humans achieving great work for the Lord. As though that, Lord, I want to do great things for you. Yes, William Carey said that. But achieving it rests on God solely. Alright? God calls us to do. We have to bear this in mind. Perhaps Joshua and the whole Israelites forgot about this or overlooked this fact. Moses, no doubt, was a towering figure in those days. 40 years. He led the Israelites through the wilderness. Can you imagine that? Estimate about 2 million. Can any one of us lead 2 million into the great what? The great sandy land. The Nullarbor. Would you dare to? I wouldn't even dare to step in it. Because if you do not know the terrain, in 3 days you'll be dead. But Moses led them 40 years with miracles, feeding them with manna. I mean, God sent. All right? Guiding them, getting them water to drink. And when they rebelled, they witnessed the opening of the land and many swallowed. I think from Ten Commandments, from the book of Exodus, we read all this. So Moses was in the midst of it. Moses was actually the leader. So he was definitely a towering figure. So when he passed away, perhaps Joshua and Israelites were totally paralyzed. What a great leader. He has passed away. What's next? We are going into the promised land, to Jericho. The land, they call it what? Land of giants. What are we going to do? Moses is not with us now. Although he passed the baton to Joshua. But who is Joshua? Joshua may be very faithful. Joshua may be very capable. He was one of the 12 spies and he had a lot of faith. But who is Joshua? So they were paralyzed. Even Joshua himself. So much so that the Lord had to step in. The Lord spake to Moses. To Joshua. Verse 1. What did he say? Moses, my servant is dead. Such a concise command to Joshua or instruction to Joshua. Moses, my servant is dead. At first glance, we think that God is belittling Moses. Moses is only my servant. No. God has never belittled Moses. If we were to turn to Numbers chapter 12, okay, let's turn to Numbers chapter 12. When Aaron and Miriam, they rose up against Moses, alright, saying that, why only Moses? Because Aaron was the spokesman of Moses. Miriam was the what? The priest, the prophetess. So we are on equal footing. But what did God say to them? Verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth. Even apparently. Apparently means what? Face to face. Alright, where you can see. And not in dark speeches where you have to figure out. And the similitude, the likeness of the Lord shall he behold. He saw the likeness of the Lord. We call it a glimpse. And he saw. Wherefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Aaron and Miriam. Were you not scared, afraid to speak against my Moses? God honored Moses in every way. But one thing that we have to understand, and that is Joshua had to understand, and we have to understand, is the relationship between the master and even great servant. The servant of the Lord, the servant or the ministers that God uses will pass, but the master is eternal. Dearly beloved, let us bear this in mind. If we have good leaders, thank God for it. But they are still servants of the Lord. One day they will come and one day they will go. But who is more important? God, who is eternal. It is with this that we have to trust God continually. Because leaders will come and go. But God is still in control. Alright, let's bear this in mind. And this God that we worship, who is in control of every situation, is not hamstrung by any circumstances. Alright, they were paralyzed. Then God had to say, Moses, my servant, is dead. And what did God say next? He didn't explain. He need not have to. Alright? He just say that. So therefore, thou, verse 2, and all the people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. God gave the instruction. This promise was given some 500 years before Moses, before Joshua's time. Alright? It was given to Abraham. And that 500 years, was it a quiet year? No. It was so many upheavals, tumultuous. They were all right initially when Jacob and the whole family went over to Egypt to escape the famine. And because of Joseph, they enjoyed the abundance of Egypt. But one Pharaoh rose up and deliberately forget all the work that Joseph had done for Egypt and ill-treated the Israelites. Make them slaves for over 400 years. Has God forgotten? Was God hamstrung by the adverse situation that the Israelites experienced? No, not at all. God says, go to the land that I have promised. Go to the land that I have promised. Not only is God not hamstrung by adverse circumstances, it is also that God's promises will never, never fail. Can we soldier on? If we understand that God's promises will never, never fail, we thank God that we can. Because that is a real booster to us. Since many years have passed, we may feel that God has forgotten His promises. I think so were the Israelites. So when Moses approached them, they said that God has forgotten us. We suffered in Egypt for over 400 years. God has abandoned us. But God has not. God has never. Alright? God has never forsaken them. God has never left them to to suffer. God works in His own time. This is one thing that we have to bear in mind. Not our time. I think, including myself, sometimes we are so impatient. We want God to work in our time. Lord, I see that this is the good time. But God is never. All right? Beholden to us. God knows what is the best time. And He works in His best time and to raise up Moses. And God wants Moses to bring the people to the promised land. So, Moses, at one point of time, sent 12 spies. Alright, children, you all must have heard of that 12 spies when you talk about Moses. Out of the 12 spies, only two. Okay. Adults, children, can you tell me the name of that two spies who say that we must go in by the grace and mercy of the Lord? One, I've already just mentioned. Okay, yeah. Caleb and Joshua. The ten said, no. What did they say? They say, oh, and we went into the land. They were flowing with milk and honey. And we have to, how many have you been to Swan Valley? Put up your hand. I've been to Swan Valley. And we purchased grapes there, right? Do you need to have something, two of you to carry the grapes home? No, we just use a hand and just a bundle. But they had to carry the grapes on their shoulder. Oh, it's this wonderful place. But the land, they were giants, the sons of Anak. The sons of Anak. Oh, they are towering figures, huge. All NBA players, potential NBA players, potential AFL players. When they guard the goals, no one can even attempt or think of scoring. Oh, they were big, and we were in their own side as what? Grasshopper. Giant grasshopper. Oh, what happened? Our wives and our children will be like prey to them. It's almost like the giant stepping on a grasshopper. Oh, and it caused an uproar. So much so they wanted to go back, and God stepped in. Alright, God says that, fine. You say that you cannot. And our wives and children will be what? Pray to them, and I will lead them there. So this generation, 40 years, will be in the wilderness until this generation totally pass away. I will bring so-called your weak wives and children, I will bring them into the promised land. God's word will never fail. Have never failed. God brought them in. Alright, so God told Joshua. God reminded Joshua of this fact. I am going to bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I have promised to their forefathers some 500 years ago. I have never forgotten. I have never forsaken. Dearly beloved, this is our God. When we know this, what is the thing that we need to do? Be strong and of a good courage. If we have known God, never hamstrung by any adverse circumstances, and His promise never fail, and we say, no, God, I don't want to go in. That is displeasing to God. If we hold to these two truths, and it has shown us it has manifested time and again to us that God is in overall control and God's promises will never, never fail. Let's be strong and of good courage. My dearly beloved, be strong and of good courage is not diving headlong into it without any consideration. That's not. It's not a foolhardy act. It is something for us to be temperate and disciplined. Once we have known that, then let us let God's word to lead us into the future. Why? Why? Why do we need God's word to lead us into the future? Why can't we ourselves just plunge into the future? Because God is behind me. Very often, when we are left alone, alright, we can do foolhardy acts, or we can do foolhardy work. We can be reckless. We can plunge headlong into it and suffer a lot of bruises. I think you have heard that when times are bad, alright, many experts, especially in the financial planning side, he says that you have to be what? Watchful and disciplined. Alright, in your investment, in whatever that you do, alright, when things are bad, be disciplined. But the paradox is, when times are bad, it is when we get very reckless. We want to plunge. Last night I was writing the pastoral chat for next week. We were going through a series, and I titled that Disciplined Living. And I realized that when times are bad, people take unnecessary risks. Is it not so? When times are bad, every business will suffer. You know which business will thrive when times are bad? Lottery business. Correct? The worst time, you see the longest queue. Why? People would like to take unwarranted risks. And they are not purchasing just $1, $2, no. They purchase big. Because they want to get the 30 million. They want the 55 million. They want to get rich quick. They want to get over the hardship quick. But in the end, they plunge into worse situation. Bankruptcies escalate. And homelessness. Family feuds. All this. So let's heed God's word. And God's word will be able to curtail us, will be able to lead us, keep us in check as we go through uncertainties, as we go through the unknown 2017. Because God has a great design for our lives. Alright, I'll come to that later. But let's now go into God's word says that. Alright, observe whithersoever thou goest. Alright, time again God reminded them. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Strong and very courageous. The purpose for that is to what? Is to do, observe and do according to God's word. So that you do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And again, God repeated in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt observe it. Thou shalt meditate therein, day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. A rule of thumb in studying the Bible is that when a certain word or certain phrases, a certain command is repeated immediately, it tells us that it is something that we have to take good heed to. We have to be very careful. Alright? God's word is able to help us to live a very disciplined life amidst uncertainty. God will keep us in check. While we want to venture thinking that times are bad, I don't want to be a sitting duck, I want to venture out, God says, watch out, watch out. Alright? Outside there are people with financial planning expertise, they will help. But I think we as Christians, as God's children, we thank God that we have the whole Bible to teach us. We have God's word to guide us, to keep us in check. And discipline to overcome the unknown requires strength and courage. It's not just by saying and then you don't do it. God says, you must. Alright, observe and do according to the God's word is our source of strength and courage. So God repeated time and again, be strong and of good courage. Not a foolhardy. Totally depend on God's word to guide us. What is God's word to guide us? It is an in-depth observation. So I always like to pride. I think that this bragging is not wrong. Christians are supposed to be the wisest and the most intelligent people on earth. Because we have God's wisdom, God's mind, all written in God's word. To help us, so that we do not go astray, so we do not take unwarranted risks. And God's word will help us to lead a very disciplined life on earth. So we have to study God's word, meditate on it. Meditate. What does it meditate? Meditate means that every time when we hear a sermon, when we study a certain passage of the Bible, when we have our own devotion, that word must stay in our hearts and in our mind, that we think about it all the time. We call it journaling. So that it becomes a part of our life, so that it becomes what we are going to do very easily and automatically overflowing into our life. And in 2017, because of this, when in your school, I don't think that it happens in school, but in your workplace, if you say, come on, shall we not share in the lotto? This week is 30 million, would you like to be a part of it? Sorry, no. God says, no. I'm very clear about it. I don't. Alright? Isn't you miss a chance. That was what happened when I first worked in a bank. Alright, they have this pool. Come join. I said, no. I don't want to join. You don't want to join? Oh, that's plenty. I said, never mind. I leave whatever my dollars will bring. Alright? If it is just one bowl of noodle, let it be. I don't want that money. So, all of us, no. All of them, no. We don't want to join in this lottery thing. Lord, whatever that you have given me, if I know how to multiply it your way, I will do it. But not in getting those unwarranted risks. So, let us learn to study and understand. Why? Alright, this is something very, very controversial. Because we are affected by those prosperity gospel. Alright? But let us never swing to the other extreme. Alright? They're wrong in many, many ways. Talking about prosperity gospel. But let us not swing to another extreme as though that our God is a killjoy. No. Our God is not a killjoy. God does not want us, everyone, to suffer. Remember Abraham? David? Alright? Even the Apostle Paul. God, in His own way, in His own time, in His own will like all of us to prosper so that we may be good stewards for the Lord. What did God say to Joshua? Thou mayest, observe this, for give us the what? The reason. Discipline living has a purpose. It is for what? That thou shall have good success and your way will be prosperous. God wants us. God does not want us all the time to be poor. From time to time, God in His own way, in His own good for us, may want us to go through certain hardship. The purpose is what? The purpose is not to make us poor. The purpose is not to break us. The purpose is to mature us so that we know how to be good steward of God's resources. So God wants us. Do you know that Colgate, the toothpaste that we are, he was a very, very committed Christian. Another big tycoon who is also a very committed Christian, I think I'm right in this, is John Deere. You know, the tractor and all that, the big one. God first trained them as good stewards. And they knew. And Colgate's boss, he set apart his tithes, everything, for God's word. So while we abhor those prosperity gospel as though that every Christian must be a millionaire, then there will be, where are the poor? Alright? Only from time to time that God may want to mature us and bring us hardship, we accept it. We accept it. Everything comes from God. It is not anything that we say that, oh, we must have it, and if it is not, it's not God's blessing. Sorry, that's wrong. Alright? But the general purpose that God wants for each one of us is our way prosperous and will bring us every good success. For children, it's your study. Alright? And you put your heart and soul into it, depending upon God, and letting God's word to keep you in check. Leave the great success, your good results, to God, and He will bring it to pass. We do our part, and God will do it. Alright? From time to time, God may send one or two sets back for you. We have a young man in our church. He just got his result in TE. And now it's called Waze, is it? And he scored 99.5. And he told the mother, don't congratulate me. Because it was not something that he aimed for. He aimed for a little higher than that. He was a bit disappointed. 99.5, a bit disappointed. Spare a thought. And so the mom told me, so I sat down beside him. I said, so and so. Yes, it may be something that we'll put in the effort and you have not achieved what you think you are achieving, God has a purpose. Alright, I don't congratulate you, but I want to encourage you. Soldier on. Alright, whatever that God has given you, it is. Maybe you think that it is a setback. God is going to mature you. So that what? He will keep us in check and that we do not be too arrogant. As though that, oh, I can do everything. I'm good at this and that. Forgetting about God. So God wants our way to prosper. No doubt about it. He wanted the Israelites to enjoy the abundance He provided in the land of Canaan. A place flowing with milk and honey, full of produce. I always pride myself with the Singaporeans. I say I'm living in a land flowing with milk and honey. Is it not? Australia is flowing with milk and honey. We export our milk. We export our honey, the jar honey, the top. Alright? I went to Swan Valley and this person says that, they say, oh, the best honey is Manuka. No! He says, you read the thing, the best honey is Jara honey. Alright, and we have it. We have it. Do not be taken. How many Manuka they have? But we have Jara. Alright, Jara honey. I always add, I'm living now in a land flowing with milk and honey and many vegetables. Many vegetables. In the early 90s when we first came, hardly you can get choy sum. Bok choy. Correct? Now you go to supermarket. Oh, you have bok choy, you have Chinese cabbage, you have choy sum, every kind of veggie that they have. Alright? Full of fiber. Good veggie. We are living in that. But never, never forget God. Alright? And God will bring us through. You see, why should I trust God continually? Why is it that God is working in his own time that I cannot see? I want it to happen now and it does not happen now. I want to end this by saying, alright, let's do a logic test. How far can we know? How far can we know? Children, as you study, alright, and you gain from high school, then go on to uni, and then go on to postgraduate, you say, oh, I know a lot. I'm getting to know a lot more. I'm expert. How far? Not over 24 hours. Can you know what's happening tomorrow? Yesterday I was on the phone with Mrs. Power, and that whole incident just happened like that during a church service. Nobody anticipated that. And Mrs. Power and Ed, Pastor Ed, they were longing to see the son David because they went on mission trip and then they came back and then they missed him. They wanted to see him. And they were so happy that he was sitting behind. And Mrs. Power saying, we're so glad David wanted to talk to David after the church. And things happened. Nobody anticipated that. Like we. Alright? But God sees far and wide and most accurately. Dearly beloved, who do you choose now? Yourself or God? I, for one, will not depend upon myself because I can't know even beyond 3 hours from now. But God sees far and wide. Lord, I'm in your hand. 2017 may be uncertain, may be unknown. But Lord, your promise will never fail. You will always look after us. But the only thing, Lord, help me. Help me to meditate upon your word so that I can be kept in check during the time of unknown. That I can go according to your will. Let us pray. Lord, indeed we thank you. Thank you for your word of encouragement through the book of Joshua. Lord, we are facing unknown. We are facing uncertainties, not only in Australia, but also globally. But Lord, we are not dismayed. We pray that, Lord, you will help us to heed your word, to meditate upon your word, so that you can guide us, lead us. Because you see far and wide, you see accurately. Lord, we are in your safe hand. So help us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.